The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents. And we're having a great day here. It's a Sunday, last Sunday in the month of June. Perhaps, just perhaps, in the month of July, we will see some more sunshine. You know, I used to wait until May 1st, or at least May 15th, before I started going to a Red Sox game. Do I really need to wait until July now before I want to go to a Red Sox game? Man, this weather has been miserable, hasn't it? We've had a few sunny days, little hints, little teases, but we've had some really miserable rainy weather. Yeah, 60, 70 degrees. It's not 30, but let's get some better days ahead, and I hope they all start coming. I hope you have a great day today, despite whatever the weather brings to us today. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, and I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We've been doing it for about 8 years here on the radio station. Our office is located in Peabody, Massachusetts, on 41 Cross Street, just above Alto Forno Restaurant, and across the street from the North Shore Mall, the ever-changing North Shore Mall, with that dirt lot that continues to get larger and larger and larger. They're bringing in lots and lots of dirt, lots of changes that are happening over there. Wait and see what happens. I think it's going to be a surprise for all of us. We've all been sitting here speculating one of these days we'll get Mark Whiting here on the show. If I can get him away from the mall to get on this show, he'll tell us what's really happening. But I think that's changing too. Not him. The stores that are coming in there, I think those might be changing as well. So hope you're all doing well. About halfway through the year. This is 6 months into 2019. How's the stock market doing? It's doing pretty well, actually. I don't think anybody's complaining at all. It isn't great. It isn't doing poorly, though, that's for sure. If you've looked back on the past 1 year performance of your accounts, are they up? Maybe. Maybe. What do you mean maybe, Mark? I mean, well, maybe. I mean, the market has been up. It's been down. Remember, I mean, fourth quarter of 2018, we quickly have forgotten how challenging that period of time was, which was three quarters of a year away. I mean, back in October to December of 2018, we are still in 2019. I keep forgetting the year that we're in. It's not 2020 yet, right? It's still I had a blackout on what year it was. Yeah, 2018, fourth quarter was not a great quarter. In fact, it was a horrible quarter. But we made it all back, but it doesn't help for your long-term one-year performance. One of the things I thought I'd talk with you a little bit about this morning was the fact that many people are looking at their accounts and they're a little bit disappointed, despite the fact that you hear news stories, you see little snippets on CNBC or Bloomberg or whatever news station you choose to watch or whatever feed you get on your phone, and it talks about how the stock market has just hit its all-time high, or that it had a great week this week, or this sector was up and this was doing fabulous. And then you look at your account that comes for the end of June and you go, that's it? It doesn't feel like I'm at an all-time high or I'm doing really well. What many of us forget is the roller coaster that we have been on over the past 12 to 18 months. Now, remember this. Your account value is probably near the peak of what it's been, unless you've taken money out or you've made some really poor investment choices. But in general, I would bet that your account is hanging out around where the top of it has been right now. However, you forget that it also had hit that top number a while ago. Perhaps it was 12 months ago. Because we just got past that new high just recently. So we've had some tough months along the way. We've had some tough quarters along the way. And so when we look at it on just a short-term basis, 1 year, 18 months, and yeah, folks, that is really, really short-term. When we only look at it from that period of time, you're not going to see the greatest of performance. And here's one of the things that we saw that happened. About 18 months ago, call it the spring, maybe even 14 months ago, call it a year ago to February of 2018, the market was sitting near an all-time high. And it was a time when people were finally starting to feel like, maybe I'd like to put some money into this market. But it was doing really well. So they said, you know, I want to be careful. I want to be really careful. So instead of putting all of my money in January or February of 2018, what I think I'll do is I'll be prudent. I'll dollar cost average, meaning I'm going to take some money and put it in over a period of months. In fact, that was the strategy that most financial advisors took, because as they talked with their clients, they would ask them, you know, look, you've got this new money you want to add. The market's sitting close to a high. Do you think now is the right time to start throwing all this money in? It may be, it may not be, who knows? But maybe we could take a prudent approach and invest money over time so that we do it. You've got a lump of money, maybe you retired out of work, maybe you received an inheritance, maybe you saved an amount of money, whatever it is, and you decided, I'm going to put this in over 5 months. Well, here's what happened during that time. And it was a period of time when a lot of people were putting money into the market. The market went up. And you might think, well, isn't that a good thing? And the market goes up. Well, when you're dollar cost averaging, you actually want the market to go down. Yeah, I said it. You really want the market to go down when you're dollar cost averaging because you're buying more shares at a cheaper price. But if the market goes up, now all of a sudden the average price of what you would have bought in to your investment portfolio is higher than what it likely would have been if you had invested all at once. Now, it was a risk you took, an educated risk, a rational risk, but you're starting with a higher than typical or higher than what might have been expected average in the value of your account. And thus, when the market drops, it takes a while for your portfolio to come back. And that's what we've seen. We saw it climb up in the first and second quarter of 2018, level off for a while, then dropped dramatically in the fourth quarter. So, man, you lost some money. Now it came back up to where it is today, and it's back up to roughly where it was when you were investing 18 months ago, maybe a little bit higher. So you're seeing maybe a 2 or 3% return maybe on a portfolio that is 60-40 invested stocks to bonds. Now, everybody's portfolio is different. Please know that. Everybody's portfolio is different. How you choose to invest is far different from anybody else. But in general, that's the sense that we're seeing amongst what I would call a growth with income portfolio, a portfolio that puts 60% of their money or so into the stock market. And I'm not saying buying individual stocks. What we do is we're suggesting buying mutual funds, exchange traded funds, index funds, that type of investments, not individual stocks, and another 40% into bond-based funds. You're not seeing much of a performance this year, so don't get mad at anybody. It's just the normal cycle of the market. But one of the things that we are seeing, here's something that's really fascinating. You may remember a couple of years ago, there was all this talk about robo-advice, the robo-investor. There was Betterment. There was, the names are escaping me now, but there's a whole bunch of different ones that were out there. Notice you're not seeing any advertisements for those right now. When's the last time you saw a billboard for a Betterment or for a robo-advisor or anything like that? You know why? Because all of a sudden, they're starting to see money come out. People gave it a shot. They gave it a shot 2 years ago when they were advertising heavily. And now here we are a year later, and they're not seeing performance. And you know what? They don't have anybody to call to say, why did this not do so well? And instead of trying to figure it out on their own, they go, I'll just try something else. That's a mistake that individual investors make all the time. They try to be tactical. They try to be active. They try to make quick decisions. Folks, my advice, as long as you're well allocated and your portfolio is positioned properly, you need to stay where you are. Don't make any changes, except keep your dial focused right here on 104.9. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial.
Could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning. That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're all doing well. It is the second segment of our one-hour show, which runs from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday morning, right here from the Treetop Studios on Enon Street in Beverly. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial and have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living all around the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Well, not me. Friedman Financial has. I was 2 years old in 1968. My father started the firm back then. I joined him in 1991. Dad retired from our firm in 2007, and so I've been running the firm ever since with my business partner, Marion Gilman, who you've heard here on our show many times in the past. She's not with us today. I'm just here running it solo. Hope you're having a nice day and getting ready for the 4th of July. It is coming up quickly, and hopefully the weather is supposed to get a little bit warmer. The weather will turn. We can have some of those celebrations, catch the fireworks, go in the pool, do some boating, enjoy the fried clams and all the great stuff that happens here in New England. I mean, that's what it's all about here, right? I mean, you know what amazes me is the number of people that actually go to restaurants and buy lobsters. I look at it that is the has got to be the easiest thing in the world to cook. Yet, why do people buy lobsters at restaurants? I love going out to eat at restaurants. I really do. But I just think buying a lobster at a restaurant is the greatest and grandest ripoff of them all. It is so easy to take a lobster, drop it in a pot of water. Now, maybe you're doing it because you don't want to hear the screaming that comes out of the pot. No, the lobster does not scream. Anybody that tells you the lobster's going to scream, that you're going to hear this screech, doesn't happen. You know, I worked years ago, many years ago, actually. It's got to be in the late 80s. I worked at the Ship restaurant. Remember the Ship in Route 1? So I was the restaurant manager there, and I used to watch them make those baked stuffed lobsters that they would do at the Ship restaurant. And that, my friends, that is murder, what they do to those things. I mean, with a knife in the throat and then cutting down along the whole front and ripping the... It was terrible. I'm sorry. Going on a little tangent there. You're saying, what the hell does that have to do with financial advice in a language you can understand? It does. Well, I'm just trying to tell you, you can save some money by just grabbing the lobsters, bringing them home. July and August is usually the best time to get lobsters really cheap. I'm waiting for Market Basket to put them on sale for $3.99 and $4.99. That'll happen probably in August. That's when I get my lobsters. Yep, I'm all about cheap, and I guess when it comes to lobsters, I'll spend $50 for a steak, but I will not spend an enormous amount of money for lobster. All right, I'm crazy, I know. All right, when we last left you, we were talking about the performance of investments over the past year. Many people are seeing that their total portfolio isn't doing nearly as well as what they may have imagined, because when you're watching the news is talking about all-time highs, everything doing great in the stock market, and then you look at your portfolio and you go, well, why am I only up a few percentage points? Well, here's the thing. In many cases, you have been taught the importance of what's called asset allocation. You put money into large cap stocks, small cap stocks, growth stocks, value stocks. We happen to use mutual funds. You can use individual stocks, but I don't like that approach. I think it's far too risky. But then we also say you want to put some money into international securities. You want to put money into bond-based securities. Well, over the past 12 months, certain asset classes have done better than other asset classes. In fact, over the past year, based on a report that I received, I get this from LPL every single day, LPL Financial. It's called their Market Barometer Report, and it's based upon information that they've gathered. And remember, the numbers that I'm going to share with you are, that's just for the day. So let's not, that's the day that was provided. It's an index. It's no guarantee of the future, nothing like that. But if you were to invest 1 year ago into large cap growth investments, the large cap growth index is up roughly 10.5%. Now that's pretty darn good. But you know that, and any rational person would know, you don't put all of your money into large cap growth. Now, what is large cap growth? Large cap growth could be companies, big companies, that take the vast majority of their profits and reinvest them back into the company for new and improved and innovative ideas. Well, a lot of stocks that you hear about that fall into that category could be Facebook and Amazon and Apple and Netflix and Google and Microsoft, Coca-Cola, all these big companies. And they're all doing, they've done well, but as you can see, if you follow their stock price, if you happen to follow it, it's been all over the place. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So remember, this number, this 10.5% that we've been seeing in large cap growth investments is an average of all the large cap growth investments. Let's just say there's 250 of them, because we took that unmanaged index, that S&P 500 index of the 500 largest stocks that trade, and put 250 on the growth side and 250 on the value side. The 250 on the growth side, let's say it averages, because of the index here, 10.5% so far on a one-year rolling basis. Not year-to-date, one-year rolling. But how's large cap value done? Now, that's what most people will say, well, Mark, I want to be conservative with my money. I don't want to take many risks. I want to buy dividend payers. I want to buy stocks that are going to be a lot more stable. That's fine, too. I think you need to have a little bit of both. Well, the large cap value segment is up only 5% for the year. I'm sorry, 5% over the past 12 months, not for the year, 5% over the past 12 months. Well, if you're doing 10.5 on large growth for the 1 year rolling and 5% on large cap value rolling, that's only giving you an average return of 7.5% for the year. Now you might say, well, Mark, what's wrong with that? 7.5% is pretty darn good. It is. But chances are that's not where all your money is invested. Chances are you have money in bond-based investments as well. Bond investments are basically flat for the year. So if you're doing 70, so if half of your money, let's say half of your money was in the S&P 500 doing roughly 7.5% on a one-year rolling basis, and bonds are doing, let's use a number of 2% just for the heck of it. Just to use a number. I'm not saying this is what it is. I'm just, let's, 7 is stocks, 2 is bonds. What's the average between those two? Well, it's 4.5%. Now, 4.5% is pretty good, right? But if you think about what they say in the news, the market's at all-time highs, and you go, I'm only up 4%, 4.5%? What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. They're just talking about the stocks. Now, wait a second. Chances are you didn't just buy the S&P 500, because nobody would want to take a risk by putting all of their money in the S&P 500. You'd want to buy mid-cap stocks and small-cap stocks and international stocks. Well, get this. On a one-year basis, international stocks are doing around 4%. On a one-year rolling basis, it's around the middle there. Bonds could be doing a little bit less. Some things are up, some things are down. It's a mix. You need to understand what your portfolio looks like in order to get a good sense as to how you're doing compared to the proper index. Never, never, never let the news media be the benchmark for what your portfolio should look like. That is a dangerous, dangerous strategy. Because first and foremost, you have to ask yourself, number one, am I a long-term investor? And then if you say yes, what does long-term mean? Long-term means I'm willing to invest in something where I'm not going to worry about the day-to-day, month-to-month fluctuations for at least 5 years. Are you willing to do that? And the minute you say, well, but I still want to check the value of my accounts every day and maybe tweak things here and there and maybe get in or out. Well, I'd challenge your premise of what a long-term investor really is. The minute you start making changes to your portfolio because of current market conditions, you are becoming a tactical investor. And we can go back for decades, decades and decades and decades and decades, all the reports that are out there that say the average investor, the person that tries to do it on their own, over the past, on 20-year intervals, I look at what's the average rate of return for the average investor who tries to do this on their own over 20 years. You know what that average rate of return is? 2.5%. 2.5%. Because we try to get in, we try to get out, we try to get in, we try to get out. A financial professional is going to spend as much time helping you stay rational in the markets, especially during emotional times. There's one thing that I can assure you in the next 12 months, the next 24 months, the next 36 months, the value of your account will not go solely in one direction. It's not going up all the time. It's going to go down. Well, I don't want it to go that much, down that much. It's going to go down. It's going to go down 10%, 20%. I don't know how your money's invested. But understand this. On almost every year, in almost every year, the markets drop 10%. Look, we saw that certainly happen last year. Markets dropped pretty significantly. Almost, I think it was, I don't remember what the number was, but it was pretty significant that it dropped fourth quarter of last year. We've had a few pullbacks, nothing major this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if we pulled back 10%. And it has nothing to do with the president, folks. It has nothing to do with it. It's just the markets just kind of understanding and resetting themselves and looking at what the current environment is. Think about what we talked about just a couple quarters ago about tariffs, what we were going to have to pay and what China was going to be paying, these tariffs that we were going to have on imported goods. That teases us. We hear it's getting resolved. Then we hear, no, it's not getting resolved. Then we hear it is getting resolved. And the markets bounce all over the place. We hear that interest rates perhaps might be going down. And then we hear that they might not. And then we hear that they may be going down. And then we hear that they might not. And the markets move and fluctuate all along that on every day's news. I can't worry about what happens every day. What I need to worry about, what you need to worry about in your portfolio is making sure that the money that you have has the sustenance to be able to provide you with an income stream when you need it in retirement. If you're in accumulation mode right now, it's not about getting rich quick. It's about getting rich the right way. And what is rich? Rich to me is having enough money so that when you reach retirement, you can say, I don't have to worry about stuff. It's not like you can go buy castles and baseball teams, but you have enough money to be able to provide a lifestyle for yourself that you know that you don't have to worry. Wouldn't that be a cool feeling? If you don't know how much money that is or what that looks like or what you need to do to get there, that is one of the biggest triggers to tell you you need to talk with a financial advisor and get some advice. Now, if you're just getting started, look, if you're just getting started, you're 20 years old, you're 30 years old, you've got your first job, you're putting money into your 401k plan, and you're thinking to yourself, well, how much am I going to need to retire? That is the wrong question. That is the wrong question to be asking, because I have several questions for you before you get to retirement. Are you planning on getting married? Do you think by getting married, the money that will come into your house may be different from what it looks like today? Do you think you'll have different expenses? Do you plan on buying a car? Do you plan on having children? How do you plan on paying for your kids' education? All of those variables play into your ability to say how much, to answer the question, well, how much do I need for retirement? I don't know. Nobody knows. But you know this? I do know that the best thing you could be doing is saving money. And I don't care what it is. If you're not saving money, if you're spending more than you make, if you're building up credit card debt, if you're taking advantage of, you know, loans and lending opportunities that are out there, and you're not saving the money that's coming into your household, saving some of it, then you're not preparing for retirement. You're not even preparing for your future, no matter whether that future is 5 years, 15 years, or 50 years from now. So you need to reevaluate. So asking yourself a question about, can I retire in your 20s and 30s or 40s? How should I prepare for retirement? If you're not saving any money now, it's not even a question that you can even toy with. And I don't care. And someone will say, well, what's the right amount to be saving, Mark? How much should I be saving from my paycheck? Well, the answer is what you can. Now, someone will say, rule of thumb says you should be saving 10% of your gross income every year. 10% of your gross income. Not what you take home. 10% of your gross income. If you're doing that, it's a great start. I'd like you to save even more. And when you get those bonuses, are you increasing? But remember, when you're saving, for the future as a youngster or as a youngster, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old, I can't believe I'm 53 years old and I'm calling people youngsters at 30 and 40. They're calling me old. I know. I mean, if you're saving for the future, you're also trying to save money in an emergency fund so that you have money to turn to, so you can draw upon funds. Ideally, it would be awesome if you could save 20% of your gross income, 10% for long term, and 10% for short term. That would be ideal. Can you do it? You go, Mark, you are freaking nuts. And other people say, well, I could do that. Understand, everybody's situation is different. It's all about the lifestyle that you want to live. It's all about what's important to you, how you choose to spend your money, what you choose to do. That's what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. If you want more of this, we provide a newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on my website. You can sign up for the newsletter. 7,500 people get it. And you could just be another one who sees it land in their inbox 10:30 in the morning every Friday. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you about this scam that I've come across, a real live scam that happened to a client of ours and could be happening to you as well. You're going to want to hear all about this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
When an overworked mother and headstrong teenage daughter magically switch bodies, everything gets freaky.
Oh, I wish you'd understand and see the world my way for just one day.
Disney's Freaky Friday is the brand new mixed up, switched up family musical that will have you seeing the world from a whole new perspective. From the Pulitzer Prize-winning songwriters of Next to Normal and the writer of TV's Parenthood and Friday Night Lights comes this hilarious new body swap musical.
I got this, soon you'll see.
Disney's Freaky Friday is live on stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater from July 9th through the 21st only. Your tickets today at nsmt.org.
Sponsored by Big Jim's Auto Body.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope everybody's doing well. It's a wonderful Sunday. We're heading into the month of July. 4th of July, Independence Day is coming up, and I hope you're planning lots of celebrations. It's one of these cool kind of weeks that's coming up, where the 4th of July is on a Thursday. So how friendly is your boss? Are they letting you have Friday off too and make it a really long weekend? Perhaps they're even closing the office early on Wednesday. Oh, that's a really good boss. Yep, that's what we're doing at Friedman Financial. So had you been working at our office, just think, you'd have half of the day off on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So yeah, Friedman Financial will be closed. We're doing half day on Wednesday. We'll be closed on Friday. So if you're listening to this show and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I'd really like to schedule a free initial consultation. I'd like to just talk to the guy, the CFPs there, myself and Marion, about my financial planning needs. I want to try to get serious about my financial planning and making sure that I'm on the right track. You can give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'd love to meet with you. We'll schedule some time. It is a somewhat quiet time in our office. Many people think the summertime is quiet, and it is kind of quiet, but interestingly, we have been busier than normal, but it's still quiet, but it's busier than normal. So we can still squeeze you into our schedule. Probably third week of July is when we're looking to schedule appointments right now. So that's where we are with taking on some new business right now. And we'd love to talk with you if that's something you'd like to do. One of the things that always surprises many financial advisors when I go out and talk about our business and how we manage the relationships we have with our clients, they're oftentimes surprised to learn about some of the other stuff that we do for our clients that's included as part of the management fee that they pay to our firm. Yeah, we manage a lot of money. We manage $450 million at Friedman Financial for about 450 clients. So you can do the math to see what the approximate average account size is, average household size, I should say. But we do more than just manage money, and it's about anything from giving you advice on buying a car to when you should take Social Security to how to fill out the forms if you've purchased long-term care insurance and you need to file a claim. Everything and anything in between that. Well, this past week, we had someone visit our office who we had talked to a few months ago and had encouraged them to put their house into the name of their trust. They had established a realty trust through an attorney, and for whatever reason, they hadn't changed the ownership of the property, which was in this person's name, into their realty trust. And so they went ahead and did that. They did that through their attorney. The deed was registered. Everything happened all in the city of Peabody. And then they get a letter from this company called Property Profile Incorporated with a big lettering across it, font size. It says recorded deed notice, service fee $86. And in it, it talks about the fact that this company, Property Profile, recommends that all homeowners obtain a copy of their property assessment profile, which includes a complimentary copy of your current deed or other record of title. The document provides evidence that at your address, it was transferred and that you are the actual owner of this property. So it shows a property ID. It actually lists, in this case, it lists the Essex County public information that's available. It lists the time you transferred ownership of your individual house, of your house, to the realty trust. It lists the year your property was built, the square footage of your house, the property address, and it says for $86, this is a notice, you should do this. And this person comes to me, she says, what is this all about? Do I need to do this? And I'm reading this, I'm going, what do you need this for? You can get a deed to your house, or however it's owned, it's free. You can go right now, if you live in Essex County, go to a website. It's called salemdeeds.com. Salem, like the town, S-A-L-E-M, deeds.com. And it'll ask you to, it'll say, do you want to go to the registry of deeds or look up a property or something like that? And you put in your address and boom, you can see your deed and you can print it out. It's not the prettiest looking picture, but you can print it out. You can actually see all of the people who ever owned your house. Every owner that was there, when they bought it, when they sold it. You can also see every time someone is refinanced on the house. All of this is free stuff. Why would you pay $86? But this company, Property Profile, out of Glendora, California, is spending their time scanning the Registry of Deeds and scanning Essex County or other counties' public information to find when was there a real estate transaction. This is all public information, and they turn this document into what looks like a pretty official statement. Now, if you read the small print at the bottom, which nobody does, it says this is not a bill. This is a solicitation. You are under no obligation to pay the amount stated unless you accept this offer. Now, who reads the small print? Because the part up top looks pretty darn official. I think this is being used. Well, we can think of all the different ways it could be being used, but I think this is another example of what I would refer to as elder abuse. And it's something that you, as a child of a parent who is elderly, may be able to look out for. Because oftentimes folks who are in their 80s, 90s, maybe they're getting some advice from an attorney to do some estate planning to change the registration on a piece of property. You know, you've seen these things, these terms called a life estate, or perhaps a realty trust, or perhaps a revocable trust that you set up. Every time there's a real estate transaction, they're going to get this document. Now, you might get it, and maybe, and I don't know how old everybody is that's listening to the show. No one's submitted that census form yet to us. I don't think the radio station is doing a census of how old everybody is. But, you know, some people who get letters like this recognize it, and immediately they know this is just a junky solicitation. But if you're not familiar with this, and you get something that looks like a bill, and you're all by yourself, and you think, ooh, I have to pay this bill, I think it's up to us, especially if we have elderly parents and we can provide some guidance in helping them go through their mail, that this is a solicitation that they do not have to pay. So once again, this company, its company is called Property Profile Inc. out of Glendora, California. They're sending out a notice that says recorded deed notice. It looks really official because it has that the little bar chart. You know, when you're scanning the bar chart when you go to the supermarket and you scan those bar lines, it has that on it. So it looks official. It has a property ID number. It lists the recording date that you changed the ownership from your house from whatever ownership it was now to something else. It lists the year it was built, the square footage, the address of the property. It gives it an official property ID number. And it tells you that for $89, it would behoove you to send in $89 so you can get a copy of your deed. You can get this, folks, for free. You just have to go to the county where you live, go to their website, go into Registry of Deeds. Here in Essex County, it's salemdeeds.com. Go there, and it's easy enough to pull up all the information you need. Buyer beware. And I'm thrilled that a client actually thought enough of it to bring it to us to show what she was getting. She, of course, didn't pay this bill, but she did ask us to make mention of it on the radio. She thought it would be a good idea. So that is something that we are doing. But, you know, when we also talk about other services that Friedman Financial provides, when we're doing financial planning, it goes far beyond providing investment solutions for you. I mean, this type of stuff, this type of care and advice to your parents to help them save some money and not be frivolously throwing money away, I think that's dangerous. You know, the other thing that we see is many of the elderly getting solicited by every not-for-profit organization in the world. They're all looking for a little bit of money, $10 here, $20 here, for every organization. Now, of course, there are many organizations that would love your money, and maybe you feel an attachment to giving money to them. But I'm finding that those appeals are getting a little over the top, and they're really not caring, frankly, whether grandma has the resources to send it to them. They're telling them a sob story. And grandma, I've seen this, where grandma will say, you know, I'd rather send money to these organizations than buy myself some new clothes or spend as much money on groceries or not go out to eat as much. Now, that's up to you to decide. It really is. But I think as adult children, we have an obligation to talk with our parents and make sure that they're making the most informed decisions about how they're managing their finances. You know, but on the other side, I do see younger adults who have older parents, and they're actually waiting for the inheritance. And they want mom and dad to spend less money because they want to be sure that they get their share of the money. Yeah, we see it all. You see, at Friedman Financial, we've been doing this for 52 years. And when you do this, you begin to meet all sorts of people. We have, I believe, the coolest window on the world of money. Look, we see hundreds of people every year. Some of them the same clients over and over again because we're reviewing their accounts. Sometimes we weave in some new ones that we see, some calls that I get from people here on the radio, all sorts of folks. And because we've been doing this so long, people aren't afraid to tell us everything about their financial situation. Frankly, because they know we'll keep it confidential and we'll give them honest advice, financial advice in a language they can understand. But some of the stories that I hear are scary. Let me tell you one. We had a client, this is years ago, this is like 15, 18 years ago, who passed away, and she had 14 children. Had 14 children. And I go to a lot of wakes. We happen to go to this wake, and I'm at the wake, and the kids are asking me, kids are finding out who I am, and they're asking, how quickly can we get our share of the money? And I didn't even think about, what does mom even have? What's even getting split? What's being done? And I said, this is the funeral. Mom's laying there in the casket. Maybe we can talk later. So three of them show up at my door the following morning, wanting to know what they can sign so that they can have their share. Folks, it's not that simple. You don't just pick up the money the next day after someone dies. Unless the structure and organization of the accounts have been designed that way so that that could happen. But you still need a death certificate. You still need a few things to fall into place. And it turns out in this case, the way that the mother had set this up is she wanted all of her assets to avoid probate. So she named all 14 of her children as beneficiaries on her accounts, which is fine. It's a little extreme, but it was fine. But in order for all of the children to get their share of the money, all 14 children would need to sign all of the forms authorizing a 1/14th share to each child. I'm sorry, I didn't have that paperwork at the funeral. I didn't even have that paperwork prepared a day or two after the funeral. And these kids were ticked off because they had flown in from all around the country for mom's funeral. There was never going to be a time again, they thought, when all 14 of them would be together. I still had to wait for a death certificate. I still had to have the proper documentation to make all this happen. And they weren't happy. And so what we did was we set up a FedEx chain. One person signs all 14 documents. There was another envelope in the next envelope and so forth and so on. So it would go to the next person. But imagine how long that would take if you had 14 different people that had to sign all the documents. It wasn't easy. It took almost 2 months. Because you send FedEx. Think about this. How many times have you received a bill in the mail, and as soon as you open it, you pay the bill? Now, some people do that. Some people are great about that. Most people, they put it in a stack of bills I'll pay later. Or documents I need to sign, I'll get to it. Now, these, in this case, you know, this was money you were going to get. This was real live money. And there was a delay because someone was traveling, someone was away, maybe we had the wrong address in one case. It took a while. And I got these nasty emails from the kids because they couldn't have access to their money. And I found out some of the reasons why they were so upset. One of them had expected mom to pass away 14 months prior. Mom had been sick. She had been in a nursing home. She had been struggling. But the child had a wedding for his daughter, and he had to pay for the wedding. And so he spent all this money expecting mom was going to die, and that's what was going to pay for the wedding. But mom didn't die, and now the bill collectors were knocking on his door. And he was mad at me. Folks, we have a really unique window into the world. I have a unique window into seeing how your kids think about money, how you think about money, how you think about debt, how you think about retirement, how you think about passing money on to the next generation, all different types of stories. And I want to keep sharing them with you here on the radio because you deserve financial advice in a language you can understand. And when we get back, I'm going to give you a little bit more, one more final segment before we get out of here, before July hits. Just give me a few minutes to get some water. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Just got paid. Friday night.
Party popping.
Oh. Feeling all right.
Booty shaking.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Set yourself apart from the ordinary at Gibley's Menswear, offering the world's most sought-after designers at New England's most sought-after values. I'm Alan Gibley, inviting you to experience the area's premier collection of spring men's sportswear at our North Shore location in Danvers and now our newly acquired Zara by Gibley's in Boston. Shop Canali, Peter Millar, Tommy Bahama, many European designers, as well as the latest trends in men's jean fashion featuring Hudson and Citizens. Find us online at Ghibli's.com. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. How's everybody doing? I had to take a pause there for a minute because I had to think about, what am I going to say next? It's one of those days. It's been one of those Sundays, end of the month. Maybe I'm just a little tired. Didn't get enough sleep last night, but I'm here to try to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we're doing here from 8 to 9 every Sunday. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you've got plans for the 4th. 4th of July is coming up. Hopefully this weather's going to get a little bit better. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I would really like to spend some quality time out by my pool. I think that'll be a lot of fun. We have the pool, might as well use it, right? So let me ask you something. Do you know where everything is and what everything is worth in your financial life? Think about that for a minute. If someone said to you, I need you to put together a statement that shows everything you own less everything you owe, how long would it take you to do it? There are some folks that have all of this information in QuickBooks or Quicken or in, I don't know, some other type of program that they use. Maybe it's Acorns or something like that. But very few people do. If you don't know what everything is worth in your financial life, what you owe, what you own, how can you properly plan for your future? Think about it. Are you just going to wing it? That's what most people do. They wing it. And a lot of stuff we do, we wing it. Look, we're all impulsive people. I'm impulsive. I'm very impulsive. So, example of impulsiveness, I bought my first house while out shopping for a baby outfit for a friend. That is right. In 19... 19- 1993, Laura and I were going to buy a baby gift. We were driving somewhere, Main Street, we were in Stoneham, we were getting a baby gift somewhere, and we saw a, I want to say it's Century 21, it probably wasn't, it was a Remax. The woman's name was Cheryl Weintraub, she was a real estate agent. We saw a Remax sign on in Reading, and we said, you know, we don't know anything about houses in the area. Maybe we'll just walk in and maybe they can show us what they have. And so we walked in, met Cheryl that day. She took us for some houses that afternoon. And we go, all right, we'll take that one. That's how I bought a house. I was out buying a baby outfit and we bought a house. Yeah, so we can all be silly and impulsive. We lived in that house for 3.5 years. It was great. Worked out just fine. We then moved up to North Andover. But we all make silly, impulsive decisions. Some of them work out just fine. Some of them we say, what the heck did I just do? But for the most part, we need a plan. We need to prepare ourselves for the day when the paycheck stops. I was with a couple this past week who are in their late 50s, and they're asking me the question, Mark, how many more years do we need to keep working? Because I want to retire. And so I thought it was kind of interesting when I asked them the question, well, tell me what retirement means. And they said, well, I'm just tired of work. I'm tired of the job, my job. I'm tired of the people I work with. I just got to get out of this thing. I see myself working maybe 4 or 5 more years and that's it. I said, okay. So when you stop working, you're going to be a little early for Social Security. You've got the money that you've accumulated. Where else is money going to come from? She says, from work. I said, well, what do you mean from work? You just told me you're going to retire. Well, I'm going to stop working in my current job, but I'm still going to work. Oh, so we got to be very careful here when we define what retirement means. Does retirement mean I'm done working? I'm going to buy 2 tickets to travel on the Love Boat, let everybody throw beads and streamers at me. I come home, I sit on a rocking chair, crochet and drink iced tea, and then live out the rest of my life. Is that what retirement looks like? That's what they made it look like in the 80s, right? With the Love Boat. Remember that? Retirement today is far different from what retirement was for the generations before us. More and more people are comfortably working into their 70s. Comfortably. So when you say retirement, what does retirement really mean? Because retiring with nothing coming in except for Social Security and your investment assets can be intimidating. Now, some people will have those resources to do that. In fact, many people that we see in our office are surprised that they've accumulated enough assets to be able to do just that. And even if they want to work, they do it because they want to work, not because they have to work. But there are many folks that realize that they may retire from their job, but they're going to work and do something else. But you can't figure out what that amount of money is that you need to make it working if you don't know where everything is and what everything is worth. It's an exercise that we do for every one of our clients. In fact, all 450 of them have a comprehensive net worth statement that we maintain for them at our office and is readily accessible, and it is one of the primary tools we use when visiting with them. So I want to ask you this. I want you to think about all the bank accounts that you have. Do you have one bank account? Do you have multiple bank accounts? Do you have accounts at several different banks? Those are two different statements. You may have 3 accounts at Bank of America, but you might have 14 different bank accounts scattered at Salem 5 and Bank of America and Citizens and Century Bank or wherever else it might be. First of all, why? That's one of the questions. And oftentimes the answer is, I don't know, I just have them. And that's usually the best answer I'm going to get. And the other answer is, well, you know, this one was offering a deal at one point. This one was offering a deal and I just never wanted to close my account. Or, well, I get my direct deposit over to this account and I need to have a certain minimum in this bank and the certain... When you approach retirement, You don't want multiple banking relationships and multiple bank accounts. You want to simplify everything. But in order, before you can simplify everything, you need to be able to write them all down and have a place where you know where everything is. That's part of your net worth statement. What's even more important about those bank accounts is who owns them. I love it when people will come in and say, well, these are all my joint bank accounts. And when I look at the actual statement, we realize that they're really not joint bank accounts. Joey might own some, and Mary might own some, and Joey and Mary might own some together. And boy, are Joey and Mary surprised when they find out the other one isn't on the name of the other account. And you figure, oh, no big deal. When I die, Mary will inherit my money because that's what the will says. Well, when Joey has his account in just his name and Joey dies, it doesn't go to Mary so quickly. Even if you say so in the will, it has to go through probate first. How do you avoid that probate? Well, stick Mary's name on the account right now if you really want her to be the joint owner, and vice versa, Mary to Joey. You can fix that up. So one of the things that we look at when building a net worth statement for you is to make sure we know where everything is, all of those bank accounts, plus who owns them properly. And it's not what you tell me, it's what you show me. You have to show me those statements so that we can be certain. Because I assure you, when someone passes away and you believe you're the beneficiary to somebody's account, if you walk into the bank and say, hey, my name is Mary, my husband Joey just passed away, I know he has some bank accounts here, I'd like his money, the bank is just going to go, oh, right this way, Mary, let me show you the way, here's, you just take whatever you think it was worth. No, that's not how that works. You need the statement. You need the verifiable information. So I want to do the same thing when we're working with our clients. I need to know what those statements look like. It's important. I want to give you advice because you've heard the term garbage in is garbage out. I mean, that's what happens. We need to have real life information. The same thing applies to all of your investment accounts. I don't care whether they're small investment accounts or big investment accounts. And besides, what is the difference between a small account and a big account? What is the difference between making a lot of money and not making a lot of money? Everybody has a different opinion. I'll tell you this, though. When it comes to spending money, people will say, well, what's the average person spend in retirement? Ooh, everybody's eyes light up there because they say, ooh, Mark's going to give the answer of what everybody spends in retirement. Well, here's the range that I will give you because I'll use the range of my existing clients. And we have 450 households. The typical range of our retirees, and 65% of these clients are retired. So I know exactly what they're spending every month. Not money that they're taking from their investment account, but money that comes from their investment account, from Social Security, from pension, from part-time work. What do they need to spend every month? You ready for the answer? It's between $2,000 a month and $25,000 a month. There's a big difference between those two numbers. Now, I'll slim it down a little bit. The typical average is probably between $5,000 and $10,000. Still a pretty wide array, but it's $5,000 to $10,000. Perhaps you'll need more, perhaps you'll need less, but you need to know what it is you need to know before you approach retirement. That's going to do it for us today. I'll be back next week with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.